Proverbs chapter 27. We've been doing some investigation as we get going on in here. We know that as our streaming goes on, our live streaming is going on right now, and we're seeing that some people are saying that they're having buffering problems. We are working on that, but I think it's more of an issue at YouTube than it's an issue with here, because we're not having any sign here of the signal going out. It's going out correctly. It's just not being received, and it seems like it's over multiple platforms at different times. So that sounds like it's a source from the internet to them instead of from us to them. So we're going to continue to work on that, and please be patient. And it is getting streamed, and the playback works fine. So we'll have to deal with it. So last Wednesday night, we talked about on who or what not to be. And the question is that we need to be who God wants you to be. In verses 1 through 12, we see 10 things about don't be a fool. Don't easily give your honor to other people or give up your honor yourself. Don't just randomly throw around accusations. We see that too much in the world today. Don't be unteachable. We need to be able to listen, and we'll see more of that tonight. Be careful when you're dealing with someone that's foolish, that you don't go to their level, that you confront what they're having issue with, and that you speak the truth. Don't trust blindly. Don't enable blindly. If someone's in sin, don't make a way that they can continue in that sin. Show them the truth and love. Don't follow people blindly. There's a lot of people say, we have the answers, and they don't. God has the answers. We follow people that follow God. Amen. Don't forget that God will judge foolishness. You know, when we were growing up, we knew what the consequences were if we acted wrong to our parents. Why don't we act right when we know the consequences of a holy God, when we act unholy? We don't need to keep on doing foolish things. And lastly, don't be worse than a fool. Don't be worse than a fool. So those are the first 12 verses. Secondly, don't be lazy. There are some incredible excuses why people want to be lazy. This one was, there's a lion in the streets. May not have been your own town, maybe someplace else, but nah. It's an incredible excuse. I've heard some pretty big excuses as a teacher in high school. And you've heard some pretty big excuses as parents too, haven't you? Or maybe you use some incredible excuses on why things didn't get done. So don't be lazy with an incredible excuse. Don't be lazy to an incredible extent that you're so lazy you won't even feed yourself. Don't be so lazy that you are the example, to be honest with you. And then lastly, don't be so egotistical that everybody has to serve you. If a man won't work, he won't eat. So don't be lazy in verses 13 through 16. Don't cause strife in verses 27 through 22. You know, don't grab a dog by the ears. You'll get bit. Don't get involved with something that's not your own argument. Secondly, don't incite strife. You know, there's a lot of nonverbal communication on. We can say the right things, but do it in the wrong way and still cause problems. We can say the wrong things and cause more problems. So we should not incite strife. Don't increase strife. You know what we're supposed to be? Christians are supposed to be what? Peacemakers. We're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. How can you do God's will if you're inciting strife? How can you do God's will if you're increasing the problem? And then lastly, don't inflict strife. Be concerned about what others are doing. And then lastly, verses 23 through 28, don't be a hypocrite. There are plenty of hypocrites going around, and the last place they need to be is in God's house. Amen. Don't be a hypocrite in appearance. Don't look good on the outside, but on the inside, You're just all rotten. Don't cover up stuff with something that sounds good. Don't be a hypocrite in attitude, and don't be a hypocrite in actions. So tonight we're going to go through Proverbs chapter 27. And we need to set our affection on things above. We need to seek the kingdom of God first. We need to set our focus on Him. We need to keep Him first place. So tonight the message is be focused. Be focused. And we need to focus on God's will in everything we do. That three-letter word, all, is always there. And for the Christian, we need to understand that God is always watching. And so in verses 1 through 4, or basically verses 1 through 8, we need to focus on God when dealing with bad. You need to focus on God when dealing with bad things. Now, in verses 1 and 4, there are obviously bad things to avoid. We've seen this a repeated thing in the Bible is what caused Satan to rebel against God? His pride. What caused Adam and Eve to rebel? Pride. And we know all those things. So the first thing we need to do is avoid pride. In Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." You know, it sounds familiar. There's a verse in the book of James the same way. Don't say, "Tomorrow we'll go and we'll do this or we'll do that." It's better to say what? "If the Lord will, we'll go here and we will buy and sell." Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know why? Because you didn't make tomorrow. By God's grace, you'll live to tomorrow. So boast not thyself to tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And then secondly, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Boy, didn't those boasting people in school just drive you nuts? They just drive you nuts. "Well, I got 100. What did you get?" Just go away. Just go away. Let another man praise thee. Remember, we talked about honor a couple of weeks ago. Don't put yourself in the presence of the prince deliberately. Let the prince call you up. Christ says, humble yourself and God will exalt you. So let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. A stranger and not thine own lips. You know, honor comes from afar. Honor comes from God. But the issue is that we should avoid proud. And we see all things in Proverbs that God what? Resist. We see it all through the Bible that God resists pride. So we need to avoid pride. The opposite of that is humility. And that's what we need to exhibit. In verses 3 and 4, we need to avoid wrath and jealousy. It says, "A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both." You ever had a large rock? Let's put some pictures in here. Ever have a large rock in your yard and you wanted to move it? Okay. And you try to pick it up and you found out there was a lot more underneath there. So you go get a pry bar and you find out that that's harder too. Next time you deal with that, think of this verse. Next time you deal with a whole bunch of wet sand carrying it around, think of this verse. That a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. You know what? Because it's foolishness. It's probably not even valid. But when people say something is wrong, boy, it is wrong. And it's a sad, sad thing that people who know the truth have to constantly defend themselves all the time anymore. It says, wrath is cruel. And anger, and I love the way they put this, the translators did this here. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. It's so outrageous that it should not be part of us. Wrath is cruel. It should not be part of us. We're supposed to be tender-hearted. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? You can go to the Song of Solomon, and the same word that's used for envy is actually translated jealousy. We should... I think there's a commandment that God gave Moses about, thou shalt not covet. And you know, when you want something that's not yours, somebody else's, and then all of a sudden you just kept on thinking about that, it might lead you to do things that you never thought possible. And it's a flimsy excuse to do it. So bad things to avoid. Avoid pride. Avoid wrath and jealousy. And then there's bad things that we might think that they're bad, and that's why it's in quotes. Bad things to accept. There are some things that may not go your way, but they're actually good things for you. And so the first one is, bad things is correction. Now, how many of us in here want to really be told that we're wrong? Come on, raise your hand. You really don't want, everybody's hand should be up here. No one wants to hear that they're wrong. You know why? Because we're proud. We think we have it solved. But here, open rebuke is better than secret love. If you go and you study this chapter, a lot of it is on friendship. This is talking about how to be a true friend. It's better, a true friend is one who will make someone else better. Christians, we're supposed, in the New Testament, we're supposed to edify one another. That means at times you have to point out what's wrong in people's lives, what's wrong in the church, and fix it so we can all get better. And so that takes some courage. It takes some rebuke at times. And Proverbs 27 verse 5 says that open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke. Being told openly, face to face, see my lips move? Yep. There are some issues that you have in your life. I think I've told this story before. But when I was a young fighter pilot in a fighter squadron, and I'm in Germany, and I thought I was hot stuff, man. I had a pride issue. And there was a staff sergeant who, he was an administrative guy in the squadron. And my mouth was foul. It was terrible. I claimed to be a Christian, but my mouth didn't act like that. And I knew all the words. And I still know. Don't use them. But the issue is this staff sergeant was a Christian. He's now a friend of mine. And one day, he stood up to me and said, you know something? He says, you call yourself a Christian. How come you use language like that? And you know how when you're caught, you're what? Speechless. You know, when you're confronted with the truth, there is no excuse. There is no answer. And that was an open rebuke. And I thanked him for it. Years now later, I still thank him for it. Because it stopped right there. Because folks, we need to understand that our lives has impact on other people. What we do have impact on other people. And we should be who we say we are. And if there's something that we're in our life that says that we're not doing that, that doesn't show that, we need to fix it. And someone needs to call it out. God's Word calls it out. And it was done in public too. There were some other people there. See, not only that, but there were other people there, all my co-workers, other pilots there that heard the same thing, and I was called out. I was called out being a Christian, and I was ashamed. And folks, we can't be like that. We can't be like that. Open rebuke is better than secret love. I'll tell you what, correction is a hard thing to take at times. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says this. It says, "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Logan, you like being punished? Didn't think so. You like being punished? You like being corrected? Yeah. Nah. Who in here likes being corrected? Didn't think so. Okay? Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it what? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Folks, if no one says anything, nothing will change. So we need to rebuke when necessary. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So, bad things to accept when dealing with bad, you need to accept correction. The second thing is you need to accept contusion. I needed a C. Okay? But you know what another word for a contusion is? It's a bruise. Bruising. Okay? Bruising. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, it says, "Faithful are the wounds," or if you go translate it out, it's actually a bruises of a friend. "But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30, it says, "The blueness of a wound," same word, okay, "cleanses away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly." You know something? When we're corrected, it may not feel good. It should bring righteousness in our life. When we're bruised because of our testimony, we need to be bruised. Remember, He was bruised for our iniquities. We need to understand the things that... There's somebody at the door, please. We need to understand that bruising can be a helpful thing. It could be a correction thing. It brings us closer to God. So bad things to avoid. Avoid pride. Bad things to avoid. Avoid wrath and jealousy. Bad things to accept. Accept correction, even though it hurts. Accept some bruising. You know, Paul writes, he says, hey, how can a seed grow unless it's what? Bruised. How can it germinate and bring forth a plant unless it's bruised and the casing is taken off of it? And then there's the third thing. Bad appetites to conquer. We need to be very careful of being satisfied in our life. We've not arrived yet. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, this was the problem the church of Laodicea. It said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You know, this is the way the world is today. Try to get the next high. Try to get the next fix. Try to get the next thing. You get satisfied with this. Is there something more? Is there something more? And what it will do, if you're not following God, it will lead you down the path of more sin and worse sin and more evil and then corrupt your life. In verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 27, it says, "The full soul loatheth and honeycomb." See, what was happening, this person had been so used to being full that even something that was sweet didn't satisfy them anymore. It says, but to the hungry. Oh, I think Christ preached in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for what? For they shall be filled. It says, look, it says, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. If you go and you look in the prophets, you know how they were supposed to eat these words and it was sweet to the taste and it was what? Bitter to the soul, because there needed to be some inward change. Need to be inward change in them or inward change in the country. The same thing here. We need to be bruised inside of us so we can be better. We need to accept correction. That might be bitter at times, but we need to accept it so we can be better. So bad appetites to conquer is satisfaction. Don't get a position that you're just totally satisfied and you say, I don't need any more. Don't get into the pitfall of looking for other things in the world to satisfy you other than God. Secondly, about strain. Bad appetites to conquer. Stay home. Stay true. Stand fast. Don't sway. Verse 8, it says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest. You ever see a little bird get out of the nest? What happens? It's just kind of flops off. And then just goes wandering away. Or a bird just kind of goes wandering away. That's the word picture here. As a bird that just has no sense of direction, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Guys, don't wander from your place of leadership in your family. Christian, don't wander from your place of refuge in Christ. Teachers, don't wander from your position of leadership. Don't go astray. Remember Demas? Demas was someone who was walking with Paul, and then Paul gets in some things, and then Paul's in prison, and he says, only Luke is with me. Demas, that guy who walked with him, he's forsaken me. And it talks about all these other people that just gone their own way. He says, I'm here alone with just Luke. That's what happens with strain. You'll turn your back on your family. You'll turn your back on your church. You'll turn your back on your God. That's something that we need to avoid. It's a bad appetite. Looking for something to satisfy you outside of God's word is a bad thing. Looking for something to satisfy you outside the bounds of your marriage is a bad thing. And it's sin. And fix it. And fix it. So these are bad things to avoid, bad things to accept, and bad appetites to conquer. Verses 9 through 13. These proverbs talk about do your heart good. You know, we hear sometimes in commercials about do your body good. You know, it's helpful. So there are things that we should do that are helpful to our heart, because we know that we're supposed to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it what? Are the issues of life. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It is an issue of the heart. God, man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the what? On the heart. Do your heart good with good counsel. Boy, we need that today. Do your heart good with good counsel. And Proverbs 27:9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know, when we talk to our friends, what do we talk about? Do we talk about superficial things? About the weather? About, worthless sports teams? Okay? Or do we talk about something that's meaningful? See, this proverb says that that hearty counsel is sweet to a man's friend. Let's talk about edifying and building one another up. So we need to do our heart good with good counsel. We need to do our heart good with close and long-time friends. In verse 10 it says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Now I find it interesting that Solomon's son Rehoboam had that choice. He had that choice. He had a choice of ruling righteously if he listened to his father's longtime friends. Instead, he listened to people he should have avoided. And it cost him the kingdom. Folks, what things do we give up because we forsake our friends? What good things do we give up when we forsake people who have a hearty counsel? What things do we give up when we don't think about God? It says, thy own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy father's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. See, this is actually talking about people outside of your family. So, what should that do? We should nurture relationships to our next door neighbors. We should nurture relationships to our co-workers in an effort to win them to Christ. And if you have a Christian friend that's nearby, he's better than a brother at times, or she's better than a sister at times. So do your heart good with good counsel. Do your heart good with close and long-time friends, and don't forsake them. Don't forsake them. Do your heart good with wise choices. First thing is to prevent reproach. In Proverbs 27:11, it says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me. See, do we want to sully our family name? Think about this. Think about what was happening with Josiah, the high priest in Zechariah's day. He was standing in front of God with dirty robes. And Satan was there accusing him. And think of all the opportunities we get for the forces of evil to accuse the body of Christ and God when we don't act wisely, when we act foolishly. But then all the things that we do and we honor God, and when we do things the right way because we have a reward, and we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, we should basically live our lives to not bring reproach. To not cause someone to have to give an excuse or cover up something that's even worse. We should all live for truth. So we need to do our heart good with wise choices to prevent reproach on ourselves and on our family name. We need to have wise choices to avoid evil. Look at this verse. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Now, if you're walking down the road and you see a large rattlesnake, what would you do? I know, you go get your gun and shoot it, okay? Okay? But say you had no gun. Okay? What would you do? Would you go play with the snake? Would you go taunt the snake? Why? Because that snake could kill you. Folks, why when you see sin, or why when we see evil, we see how close we can get to it. We see how we can kind of play around with it. And we know that it's wrong. My Bible tells me this: make no provision for the flesh. walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You do all these things. It says the prudent man foreseeth the evil. Christ himself, it says, evil is a day, you know, evil is sufficient for the day thereof. So what does a prudent man do? He sees something wrong and he avoids it. When you see something wrong, do you go running at it? Because it says, but the simple pass on and are what? Punished. I just don't know why this happened to me when I was in the wrong place with the wrong people doing the wrong thing, because it's never the right time. So make wise choices to prevent reproach. Make wise choices to avoid evil. Make wise choices to prevent loss. To prevent loss. Now the issue here is take his garment, that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. You have to go back to chapter 6. You have to go back to chapter 20 and talk about this. We don't get ourselves entangled in debts that are not our own. And if you have someone that's doing that and they make you a promise, you better take something for it so you can prevent loss. How many of us have been duped at some time by someone? We all have. It's a foolish decision, right? Were we being prudent, or we just kind of maybe got sweet talked into the thing? The issue is, you need some evidence of good faith from the other person. Don't blindly follow people. Don't enable people. That's being what? Being foolish. That's last chapter. That's last chapter. So to prevent loss, so you don't get taken to cleaners, get some collateral in this. You make sure there's something, security for them that gives you an idea that something's going to get done, that what they say they're going to do, they're going to do. So do your heart good with good counsel. Do your heart good with close and long times friends, and don't forsake them. Do your heart good with wise choices to prevent reproach, to avoid evil, and to prevent loss. Kind of get to the next point. In Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, Paul is ministering. And he goes to the city, and this woman has a spirit of divination follows all the time. And it says, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. That's not a good thing. Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That's not a Christian thing. So this is something, looks good, but it's not right. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You know, when you're confronted with truth, you have to speak truth, even though you may be living a lie. It's truth. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said in the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And then the people who made money from her doing the suicide got mad. Do other hearts good. Do your own heart good, and then do others' hearts good. Be genuine. In verse 20, 14, it says, he that blesses his friend with a loud voice. It's actually flattery. Or, you know, you go and, you know, you got some people, and all they want to do, they want to point out this, here's my friend! He's yelling. He's just yelling out at the top of his voice. Here's my friend. He's my longtime friend. It's an embarrassment. Look at this. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning. Yikes. We talked about not wearing out your welcome a couple weeks ago. Here we go again. Okay. It shall be counted a what? curse to him. So be genuine with this. Being loud and boisterous, is that should be the Christian's way? No. We're supposed to be humble and meek and controlled. So we need to be genuine. We need to be gracious. In verses 15 and 16, it says, here's another one. Have a dripping faucet? We have a dripping faucet in our bathtub. And all night long you hear it. Glip, glip, glip. And what do? You hear it go, glip, glip, glip. And you hear it, you shut the door so you don't hear it anymore, right? And then you go in the other bathroom. In our case, the other bathroom is right behind it. And you're at the sink and you hear through the wall. Drip, drip, drip. This is a continual drip dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are like. We're not going to go there, okay? Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind. And the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. The issue is, sometimes these proverbs give us a lesson on the negative side. We need to do the opposite. So in verse 14, you shouldn't be making a loud, boisterous witness of somebody. And here, don't be contentious. Don't be that person. Don't be the person that rubs people the wrong way. Y'all have somebody like that, right? And you know something? It's interesting. They show up at the wrong time. Isn't that about the case? At the worst time possible, that's when they show up. When you're at the last shred of your stress level for that day, that's when it happens. That's the same thing. Be gracious. Look around. Don't be contentious. That's not the Christian way. You can't hide it. Can you hide the wind? No. Can you catch the wind? No. It just kind of goes through the fingers. You can't stop this. So we need to be gracious for this. So do other heart good by being genuine, being gracious. And then the last thing is by being gratifying. Once again, this is about friendship. In verse 17, we need to be gratifying in relationships. Folks, that's how relationships they're supposed to be better for both parties. They're supposed to be better for both parties. In verse 17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So, do you build people up or do you tear them down? Are you a help to them or are you a hurt to them? Are they improving you? Tell you what, the man that sat where Roy sat, I just passed on the Lord, was one of those people. Amen. Mm-hmm. He would tell you, his countenance would help you be a better person. He was interested in that. That's Max's testimony. That should be the testimony for all of us. So we be gratifying in relationship. We need to be gratifying in service. In verse 18 it says, whoso keepeth a fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. And that works in the family, from kids to parents and from parents to kids. It works in the workplace, from worker to boss. It even works in the church. So the issue is that what should we do? Waiteth. What does that mean? Serves. Waiteth on his master shall be honored. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to serve. So we need to be gratified in relationship. We need to be gratified in service. We need to be gratified in character. In verse 19, it says, as water face answers face. When you look at a clear pool of water, what do you see? You see your reflection. When you see your reflection, who do you see? Do you see the person that you think you are? Or you see someone else? When God looks at you, who does he see? So the issue is water answer, as in water, face answer to face, you're confronted with the face. It says here, it says, so the heart of man to man. My spirit agrees with your spirit that we are the what? Children of God. And that's the way it should be in our relationships. We should do others good by being genuine. We should do others good by being gracious. We should do others good by being gratifying. And then lastly, we should watch out. We should watch out. Verses 20 through 27. Watch out in your desires. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul gives a good testimony of himself. He says, not that I speak of respect of one. He's talking about he's in a jail. He was in a jail. He says this. He says, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. See, if you're never satisfied, you're always going to look for more. And you're always going to look for the wrong thing. And you'll stray away. And this will get you in trouble. Be content with what? My God shall supply all my need, not my wants. Not my wants. And we've got things. Basically, we have. In this chapter here, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says that people thought back then that getting wealth and getting position and getting that was how God was blessing. You know something that hasn't changed 2,000 years later? Hasn't changed at all. Your blessing is on the inside. Your contentment is on the inside. It's not with the stuff that you have. God provides all that stuff. He's going to provide our needs. So watch out in our desires that we're content with what God wills you and say, and not have this attitude, is there more? How many times, parents, have you gone to Christmas and you put presents out and your kids said, is there more? Is this it? Or you give a party, is this all there is? Dangerous attitude to have. It's a very dangerous attitude to have. Secondly, watch out in your response to praise. In verse 21 it says, as a fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. What is this verse saying? It's saying the way you react to people lifting you up. Do you react, huh, well, I know, yeah, I'm the greatest. Or do you react as Christ did? With a humble attitude or a meek person, like Moses. Moses probably greatest leader ever lived, yet he was meek. He always thought of other people. And what this is talking about here, it says, as the refiner's pot for silver, so is how you react to your praise. So a good benchmark of where you are in your spiritual growth is when someone says something good about you, who do you give praise to? Do you take the praise for yourself or do you say praise God? And when you say praise God, is it truly genuine or is it just made up so you're politically correct? Ooh! Ouch! Okay? So watch out in your desires. Watch out in your response to praise. Watch out in your dealings with foolishness. A pretty graphic verse here. It says, though thou shouldest bray a fool in mortar among wheat and a pestle. Remember that? What does a mortar and pestle do? That's that cup, and then that's that thing. And what do? You grind. It was used to make mix things together. So get this. Get this picture of this grinding here. Though thou shouldest bray a fool as a mortar among wheat with a pestle. If you try to grind wheat in a cup with the instrument, that's the same thing as trying to get a fool to do the right thing. It says, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. You know why? Because he's bent on being foolishness. So be careful with your dealing with foolishness. You know what you should deal foolishness with? You answer with the truth and don't go to their level. And don't think you can solve all the problems. There are things, there are people you can't solve.
Amen.
There are situations you can't solve. The Bible says after the first and second admonition, reject. Christ told his disciples that he sent out a commission to go into the city. He said, if they don't receive you, what? Walk out of the city, shake the dust off your feet. There are you can't fix the world. God does. All you can do is do what God tells you to do and let God take care of the rest. So watch out in your desires. Watch out in your response to praise. Watch out in your dealings with foolishness. Watch out for God's providence in what you have. In verse 23 it says, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. You know, the issue was, is that you could trade and sell land in the nation of Israel, but every 50 years it went back to where it was. And so the price that you, when you bought a piece of land, you bought it based on how many more years you got that 50 year, but then at the end you gave it up. So real wealth was not in the land. Real wealth was in what you did with the land. And it says here, it says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Watch out for God's providence in what you have. Remember the stewardship? God, the leader, the master gave his servants the talents. And then they did something with it. It was the master's talents in the first place. Folks, we need to understand that too. Is what we're not self-made people. We're God-made people. And God just allows us to use things, and what we should do is what God's given us, use it. Secondly, we should watch out for God's providence and what God provides. Okay? It says, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The answer to that one is what? No. The answer for what is... I'm just going to go next verse. Okay? There we go. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. It says, the hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. Who made the hay? God did. Okay? Who allowed you to get riches? God does. Who owns all the riches? God does. He created everything. So the point is that we need to be watch out for God's providence, what you have. You need to watch out for God's providence, what God provides us with. And then the next thing is look at this. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, it says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, wait a second. Why does a guy grow sheep? Why does a guy herd sheep and herd goats? Why does he do it? To provide for himself, right? Who gives the miracle of life? God did. Who gives the miracle of the grazing pasture? God does. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to look out at what God's given us. And we're supposed to set our affections on Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at verses 26 and 27. Watch out for God's for providence and how God provides. It says that the lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for what? Thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. So, The issue is use what God has given you, nurture that and what God provides for that, and then live in that provision. And we need to watch out for that. So, are we watching out? Are we doing other people's hearts good? Are we doing our own heart good? Are we dealing with bad things properly? Are we focused? That's the issue today. So, we need focus in our lives, folks. We need focus. So I hope God's spoken to your heart today through the Word. And now it's time to do business with Him. God spoke it to you. We'll have a verse of invitation. And we can give to God what He wants us to give to Him tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask for this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, to do what is right. Help us to stay focused on You, and help us, Lord, to follow You all ways. And we ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.